The Rookie Big Board Podcast. I'm your host, Matt Hicks, the FF Educator, Director of Fantasy Football for the NFL Draft Bible. And listen, before I kick off episode 12 here of the Rookie Big Board, I want to take a moment and apologize for the delay. It's been about two and a half weeks since the last Rookie Big Board episode. Listen, the real life job, it's picked up. It has busy seasons, and this past couple weeks was one of them. But I want to make sure you know, even if there's times in between these episodes, I'm working on it. I'm going to make sure there's always good quality as opposed to just quantity when dropping these episodes. It's one of the reasons the Rookie Big Board is a solo show. I want to make sure that I'm giving you 100%. But I needed to jump on here and talk about pro day results because it seems like folks are losing their mind. They're shooting players up their board. They're throwing players in the trash entirely. And I'm here to give you the six biggest pro day results to react or not react to. I'm going to take you inside my process when it comes to reacting to pro days. Now, for the most part, if you know me, if you follow me on Twitter, you know I don't care much about pro days. I just don't. It's an isolated experience. And this year especially, it's so widely inconsistent, and we don't have the combine data to compare it to. So I'm going to go through some of the biggest storylines here, and it has to start with the pair of North Carolina backs. A lot of folks were really panicking about the Javonte Williams and Michael Carter 40 times, and we're going to start specifically here with Javonte Williams. I don't know what we're surprised about. Williams, depending on who you asked, it's somewhere between a 4.55 and a 4.58 40 time. If you add maybe a 0.5 onto that because of the pro day numbers, then he's in the 4.6s. That doesn't surprise me. Look at your Javonte Williams tape. You weren't liking Javonte Williams for his speed. And if you were, you were probably just watching highlight clips or buying into some false narratives. Javonte Williams still does all the things on tape that you should have liked him for. And I want to point out, I'm not the biggest Javonte Williams fan. I'm kind of known for not having him in my top three right now. Will he end up in my top three after draft capital? Probably. But pre-draft, he's not. But I'm sitting here, I'm defending him because this is who we saw on tape. We never saw speed on tape from Javonte Williams, at least not in the first 40 yards, right? Like, he could get moving downhill a little bit, but he's a power guy. He's got good hands. He's good in pass pro. These are all things we like Javonte Williams for. None of it was his speed. All right, so him running a 4.58, 4.6, depending on anywhere where you want to put it, it doesn't bug me. You know, he had a 36 vert, slightly above average for running backs, a 4.09 shuttle, slightly above average for running backs, 22 on the bench press, slightly above average for running backs. That's not bad for a guy who's kind of known for being more of a strength power guy. So I'm not moving Javonte Williams at all in my rankings. If you're dropping Javonte Williams based on his pro day results, I think you're making a serious mistake and you're overinvesting in a really isolated experience that comes with the pro day. Now, Michael Carter, relative to Williams, you know, he ran a 4.5 40 time. This was actually a really surprising one. He ran faster than Javonte Williams. Now, if you look at my speed scores for Javonte Williams and Michael Carter on tape, believe it or not, Michael Carter actually has a lower score than Javonte Williams. A lot of folks just assume that Michael Carter is speedy because he's small. That's not true at all. Look at the tape. He's also not known for being fast. So we shouldn't be fading a 4.5 40 time for Carter. That's actually kind of good. That's better than I expected him to run. So I'm not worried about that at all. Now, I want to point out, and we're not talking about Daz Newsome. Daz Newsome also ran a slower 40 time than expected. When looking at these pro day results, keep in mind, every college, it has a different setup for their pro days. They have different tracks they run on. They have different environments they're in. Maybe North Carolina's track was just a slower track. But either way, Javonte Williams, Michael Carter, They are both holds for me when it comes to looking at these pro day results. They're not moving in my rankings pre-draft at all. Now let's flip it over here. We got a different pair of running backs. Now, I've just spent the opening part talking about how I'm not reacting to Javonte Williams. Overall, I don't react to pro day results, but it would be foolish to not take results into account at all. And here's a totally different example of two guys that are going to fall in my rankings because they're going to fall in the eyes of the NFL. And that's Rakeem Boyd and Jarrett Patterson for two totally separate reasons. But what do these players have in common? They were both day three guys going into this draft process, right? Best case scenario, they were going early day three. Worst case scenario, we were probably looking at round seven or UDFA. Now, I think for both of these guys, we're looking at rounds six, seven, or UDFA is most likely where they're going to go. But again, for two totally separate reasons. So let's start here with Jarrett Patterson. The measurements. He measured in at 5'6". Now, I am a big Jarrett Patterson fan. I love him. I love his play style. He's fun to watch. 5'6", that's tough. It's going to be tough to get past that. Now, he weighed in at 195, which is also a bit light. It's not terrible for that, you know, for the 5'6 frame, but it's a bit light. Now, I want to be in on him, but it's tough, and so that's where you're at. He ran a 4.52. That's not a terrible 40 time, but overall, it's a bit underwhelming of a profile. So I think best case scenario, I'm hoping Jarrett Patterson still gets drafted. It's probably round six or seven, or he'll be a preferred UDFA. I want to point out, I think Jarrett Patterson's going to make an NFL roster. I'm not fading Jarrett Patterson entirely, but it would be foolish for me to not push him down into my running back rankings. And now he's falling into more of like a round five fantasy football guy, mid four, late round five fantasy football player. So, you know, he's really fallen into that total home run swing as opposed to before where I kind of had him more as a sleeper. Now, Rakeem Boyd is a guy I really liked as a college player. Thought he was, you know, had the ability to be a three down back. Not the fastest guy. He wasn't great at anything, but I thought he was good at a lot of things. You look at his unofficial 40 time, 4.58 to 4.70, depending on whose unofficial time you're looking at. Again, this should tell you everything you need to know about pro days. You could have anywhere between a 4.58 and a 4.7. That is a huge range when it comes to running 40-yard dashes. But he had six reps on the bench press, that's a big oof, okay? For a guy who's really known for getting it done in between the tackles, six reps on the bench press, not great, well below the average for running backs. And he's 213 pounds. We should be able to throw up more than six bench reps at 213 pounds. Now, Boyd, for me, he was already a little bit lower. He started off as around 6'7 type projection. I think he's going to be a UDFA at this point. There's still things I like about Boyd's game. You never know. You make an NFL roster, guys go down, you find the field. It's possible, but for me, Boyd is essentially an afterthought. You know, if you're drafting 70 to 75 rookies, I'm sure he comes off the board, but he's going to be living on your taxi squad for fantasy football purposes for at least a year or two. Now let's jump back into a little bit more of the positive light here. We'll start with Kenny Gainwell. Now a lot of folks were really excited when Kenny Gainwell came to his pro day, and it's not because of his 40 time, although we'll get to that. It was a good 40 time. He weighed in at 201 pounds, this magical threshold that the analytics side of things tells you, boom, he can be a legit guy. And I understand, I was excited when I saw Kenny Gainwell's weigh-in as well. He bulked up. Do you know why I was excited about it? Because after Kenny Gainwell opted out of the season, he had one job. It was to prepare for the combine. Combine doesn't happen. It's to prepare for his pro day. Go to your pro day, make it happen, make the most of it. And Kenny Gainwell did. He prepared for the job and he got the job done. He came in at 201. I want to point out, he's not going to play at 201 in the NFL. He's going to play between a buck 90 and a buck 95. That's where he played in college. That's the weight he's going to play at. But he did what he had to do, right? He got to that 201. Now, he ran a 4.42 40 time. That's a really good 40 time for what I expected from him. It matches the tape. It keeps his score right where it was. And his ranking, it stays right where it was. He was running back 5 going into his pro day. He's going to be running back 5 leaving his pro day. He very well may bump up to running back 4 post-draft, because of draft capital, with an outside chance of being running back 3 for me in a perfect landing spot with good draft capital. Say Atlanta takes him at the top of the 2nd. I'm in. We don't know that, right? So for right now, Kenny Gainwell is running back 5 after his pro day, right where I wanted him to be before I saw those measurements from his pro day. Now, Tomorian Terry, also an opt-out. I know in a little bit different of a way. He didn't opt out at the beginning of the season, opted out halfway through. Florida State's a mess. I'm not holding it against him at all. But another guy, he needed to come to his pro day, and he needed to show up because he's known for being an athlete, right? That is his upside. And he did well. He measured in at 6'2", 207. He ran a 4.4 40 time, so 4.4 40 at 6'2". That's good with his level of athleticism. Now, at the end of the day, the overall numbers are encouraging, but they don't answer the questions that we still have for him. Was QB play the really issue? Was really that the issue at Florida State? Or does he just have suspect hands? Is that athleticism going to be consistent? He was a day 3 NFL draft prospect before the pro day. I think he's still a day 3 NFL draft prospect after the pro day. But I think before, with all of the unknowns, he was maybe a 5 or 6, round 5 or 6 guy. I think it's a slight bump. He's probably going to be around 4 or 5 guy. There's going to be an NFL team that's willing to take the risk, but it's a loaded draft class, right? And since it's a loaded draft class, we don't need to force these guys up the boards, and the NFL is certainly not going to do that either. And I buried the lead. Let's talk about Rondale Moore. So I've talked about some guys that I'm holding for different reasons. I've talked about guys that I'm slightly dropping for other reasons. Rondale Moore is probably the guy who dropped the furthest in my rankings. No, probably, he was. But here's the caveat. He dropped from wide receiver 5 to wide receiver 7. I'm going to get into why, but I want to make this point. The guy who fell the most went from wide receiver 5 to wide receiver 7. He dropped about 7 spots in my overall rankings. Late first round rookie pick, mid second round rookie pick. That's it. That was the biggest drop, and it was from an extreme situation. Rondale Moore was listed at 5'9 when playing at Purdue. That was already small. That was already concerning. He measured in at 5'7 at his pro day. That is tough. There's no denying his ability to play football. And I think he's going to be a good NFL player regardless of his size. He's going to need 2 things, though. He's going to need a precise passer because he's got a smaller frame. I know he's got a good vert, but he's got a smaller frame. So he's going to need a precise passer at the next level. That's what that 5'7 height tells me. And the other thing, he needs an NFL coach that's creative-minded and willing to manufacture touches for him. I don't think that's going to happen at a high level for fantasy football purposes, or at least I'm not willing to bank on it at this time. With the information we know, without knowing where he is, I'm not willing to bank on it. So, Rondale Moore, I think he could be a great gadget player at the next level. I think he's going to be used in a variety of different ways. However, I don't think he's necessarily going to produce at high levels for fantasy football with the information we have now. I want to point out, he ran a 4.28 40 time. He jumped 42.5 on the vert. Those are great times. And that's why I'm still convinced he's going to be a good NFL player at the next level. But you need volume for fantasy football. And I think Rondale Moore is going to struggle to consistently put up that volume. There's going to be weeks with Rondale Moore where he puts up 25 fantasy points and we're going to fall in love with him. And then the next week he's going to come by and he's going to put up 6. And then the next week it's going to be 7. And then the following week he'll put up 17. And he's going to be this guy that we fall in love with and then fall out of love with really consistently. But that should speak volumes. That was the most harsh I could be in my rankings, was dropping somebody from wide receiver 5 to 7, about 7 overall slots in the rookie big board. So it's not that extreme. My takeaway here from the pro day process is I don't want you to overreact to it. You have to take this information into account. You have to consider the way the NFL is going to look at it, because clearly pro days have value in the eyes of NFL evaluators. But don't freak out. Don't throw players off your board. Don't skyrocket them up. By the way, you'll notice I didn't move anybody up my rankings, only by default for those who fell. So at the end of the day, it's really not a huge factor in the overall process. Look at the tape, pay attention to the draft, pay attention to historical projections and how they kind of translate, and I'll be doing that. My fantasy football rookie Baseline projections are now available at patreon.com. Those will get updated during draft weekend. The patrons are going to have an awesome, we're going to do a live chat during the draft. I'm really excited for that. We've been doing mock drafts, live calls, and also slow mock drafts. There's a lot of fun stuff happening along with my rookie Devy and Dynasty rankings at patreon.com/theffeducator. So make sure to check that out, and I appreciate you tuning into this episode.